How many remember your memory text from the last several weeks? How many know where it's found? Oh, come on, preach it. Say again. Say one more time. What does it say? Hold up. Some of them aren't joining you. They're lost. Hold up. Start over. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Hallelujah. Do you believe that today? You know, listening to Richie this morning, I know that he probably is speaking without realizing it on behalf of a number of others. And I believe that God is always on time. God is always, there's always a word in season. And I think that when I hear stuff like that, I don't think I know that I'm being led of the Lord in our conversation. How many over the last couple of weeks, your spirit man just leaps? Because we have been saved by grace through faith. And now we live. Come on, are you here this morning? We live by grace through faith. A lot of us in the so-called grace camp, I don't even like to use that term anymore, in the faith camp. I don't care what camp it is. I'm in Jesus camp. But a lot of us in the grace camp that have really come to acknowledge a new, well, not new, it was the gospel all along. If we're not careful, as I've said the last several weeks, an improper concept of grace makes believers lazy. But grace empowers us to live and walk by faith. For the just, are you here this morning? The just shall live by faith. And we talked about this the last several weeks. I'm going to pick up from where I left off last week. But before we go any further, I want you to look at these few areas, these few verses that say just that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. We'll look at it very quickly. How many are thankful for the rain? Woo, that's awesome. I'm going to go ahead and read 16 just because I love it so much, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I hear any amens in the house? Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I hear people all the time, boy, pray for me, Pastor Lee. I just need more faith. I just need more power. Pray that I'll have more power in my life. And I'm not rude. It's not, sometimes timing is everything. It's not the time to dash their hopes and kick them in the teeth. But what I want to tell them is, you don't need more power. You need more gospel. Because the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God. Amen. And we think that we've preached the gospel in that we've simply declared that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. There's the gospel. Now let's move on to the deeper, more important stuff. That's not the gospel. That's the beginning. But the gospel is all about, the apostles used the word gospel and grace interchangeably. There was no difference. When Jesus said, it's finished, he meant it. When the writer of Hebrews says once for all, he meant it. When Paul wrote in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no more fear of punishment from God for those who are in Christ Jesus, he meant it. I no longer have to live in fear. John said, his love for me, his perfect love for me has cast out all fear. If you're still living in fear, you still need to hear the gospel. If you're a believer who still lives under the load of guilt and shame and fear of God and fear of the future and not sure about how God feels about it, you haven't yet heard the gospel. There was a woman who came in unannounced, broke an alabaster box, and began to worship Jesus, a woman of not very good reputation. And Jesus' comment to the man of the house, Simon, was, when I came, you didn't so much as give me water to cleanse myself, to wash myself up. He said, but I'm telling you that the one who loves much is forgiven much. How many know that when she saw his love, and simply in her fallen and destroyed state, if you would, worshiped him? We have no record of, please forgive me, please have mercy on me. It was all involved in the prayer of, it's like the thief on the cross. I mean, the thief on the cross, this is how his prayer of salvation went. Wow. You're him. I tell you, this day you will be, you understand, I'm paraphrasing a tad. That's, he said, Lord, if his attitude was completely different than the other one. All he was saying was, wow, you really are him. She worshiped. Aren't you glad today God doesn't make it hard? How many are glad today for the love of God? How many are glad today that it is the goodness, Romans 2 tells us, the goodness of God? Boy, I didn't mean to. That wasn't my heart's desire. But I kind of felt like I was really cutting a groove. If I could point your failures out and then set me up as the one who could answer the needs and help you along. How many know that's a kind of manipulation? And in that is involved a form of control. I'm so glad that I am not your Savior. My job is to unveil Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He remains veiled even to this day, Paul said with obvious irritation, for he repeats it exactly the same twice. He remains veiled even to this day by those who stand in the synagogues and preach the law. I'm so glad today that we are delivered unto a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Saved by grace, through faith. And now we live by grace through faith. Scripture says the just, it's just another way of saying it. Is it warm in here to you guys? It's very warm to me as well. Ushers, could we kick up? Huh? You take your jacket off. Gotcha, girl. Let's, for us up here, ushers, there is a unit right in this area. Are you guys okay in the back? I could see a number of you are fanning yourselves, so we have some people that are very warm. So would you like a little air? There you go. So we can accommodate. Maybe check this one here. Where's our ushers at? Are they dealing with something in the lobby? Could you check that right there for me? Chad, I don't want you getting too warm and falling asleep on me. Of course, if you've hung around here very much, I'm a little hard to sleep on. So, hallelujah. All right. Where were we? Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17, look at it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Everybody say faith to faith. Paul's getting ready to introduce one of the most incredible expositions. On grace, ever. His posture is defensive because he's going to push the envelope, so to speak. He's going to say some radical things. And here he's saying, it's faith to faith. Not works to faith or faith to works. Or it's faith to faith. As it is written. Is there a place for works? Absolutely. James says, if you have real faith, works are going to follow. Relax. We're talking about, that's works of righteousness that are a product of a true understanding of grace. The just shall live by faith. The righteous, because of grace, live by faith. Amen? You follow me? So here we go. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, Can everybody say it together? The just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3. Thank you, Chad. Feels better already. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, but that no man, everybody say, no man, but that no man is justified by the law. In the sight of God, it is evident. For, can everybody say it together? The just shall live by faith. One more time, the just shall live by faith. Let's go to one more, shall we? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just, how many can guess what's coming next? Now the just shall live by faith. The rest of that phrase is, don't let it trouble you. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, speaking to, and I'd be glad to sit down and debate this with anyone, speaking to the audience, primary audience of Hebrews, that you can see clearly in 3, 4, 5, and 6 are Jews who have tasted, have seen, have had a partial revelation of who Jesus is, but the writer is urging them to leave the old and go on into Jesus. And I struggled with Hebrews for years until one day the Holy Spirit, in an almost audible word, said to me, go back and read them again. Go back and read those chapters again. And I stumped. I go back and read them again. And after about three or four times, I mean, I had me a tizzy in my office. Because the question he asked me was simply this. If he is imploring and begging them to go into Jesus, are they in Jesus? And the whole book of Revelation exploded wide open for me. Now everything fits. Everything makes sense. Everything. All the scriptures that have been used to beat Christians over the head, Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10, have been used to scare them and cause us to think that our salvation is always on the edge. You know, it's always in jeopardy. Suddenly, completely clear as we see what the book of Hebrews was intended for, and that is that Jesus would even in a greater and more beautiful way be revealed. Do with that what you want. But right here we do see the just shall live by faith. Of course, if you've been with us the last several weeks, we know that we are just, or another word for that is righteous. How are we righteous? If you put your faith in Jesus, the Bible refers to that as faith righteousness. It's no longer works. This is what Paul lays out so beautifully in Romans 4, Galatians 4, Philippians 3, that before everything was about works, but now faith in the obedience of Christ. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Romans 8, 2, that declares that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. How many are glad for Jesus today that we've been set free? Hallelujah. And you know what? I mean, there's a lot of people that were set free, but because they don't know that, they don't live free. And so that's the purpose of the preaching of the Word of God, that people would come into a knowledge and understanding of what has already taken place through the work of Jesus. Amen? So the just shall live by faith. I'll tell you what, there are some things that are declared by Jesus in the Word of God that I believe that we as believers have yet to step into. And we have to be very, very careful. I referenced it before, and I've touched on it over the last however many weeks, that if we're not careful, an improper understanding of grace will cause believers to become lazy. How many know that we are called to a fight of faith? How many know there is a fight of faith? It's called the good fight, and hallelujah, it's a fight that we win, but there is a fight. Are you with me? So we shouldn't be surprised. We started many months ago looking at James chapter 1. And so today we want to talk about that very thing. If you were here with us last week, we gave an example of a golfer and how that golfer being observed on the green on TV, there's a hole that he is putting towards, and it looked like he was doing the exact opposite from the angle of the cameras that he should have been doing, because it appeared that he putted away from the hole. But the ball made a big C and fell right in the hole as people cheered as the pro walked away victorious. He knew the lay of the land. Let me tell you something. There are some things in life that hit us, and there are some things that take place, but we have faith in a God who knows the lay of the land better than we do. So we better find out how our faith and our trust in Him can be increased. I mean, we've all been given the measure of faith. We all have the same. We're going to get into more of that later as we move through. But listen, God has called us to a supernatural walk. Boy, you're quiet this morning. God has called us to a supernatural walk of faith. I'm so glad for the message of grace that has caused me for the first time in years and years of ministry to be able to stand at peace and at rest in reference to His will for me, His love for me, His desire for me, His attitude towards me. No question. Fear removed. Hebrews 13:5, which declares, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can boldly say, boldly, everybody say boldly, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do unto me. How many are glad for that today? Hallelujah. So we're called to walk by faith. What is this thing called faith? Well, as we move through over the next however many weeks, I'm not in any hurry, hope you're not, we're going to look at it. Well, last week we talked about the trajectory of faith and what that looks like. And I just want to finish up with where we left off last week. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And I'm believing God today. I believe that God has taken us on a journey as a body and as a people in which many of us, and man, I've heard the testimonies through the week, the texts, the emails, different things, where people's hearts have been settled in the goodness of God. But how many know and understanding the power of the gospel, the power of grace, used interchangeably, I can prove it to you in Scripture, used interchangeably by the apostles, same thing, the power of the gospel in you can make all the difference in the way you live and the influence that you have on those around you. We're called to a supernatural walk of faith. The thing is, though, we can talk about concepts and precepts, and I can give you 7 steps to faith, and I can get you all fired up, but the reality is, you walk out of here, and if we haven't, by the Spirit of God, allowed revelation, it's one thing to get information, but revelation is what changes people. And we're going to look at some examples of people who caught a spirit of faith. In the Old Testament, Caleb and Joshua were different. Scripture says about Caleb that he had a different spirit. Do you remember that from last week? He had a different spirit. He had an attitude that was very different. He said, let us go at once. We are well able to take this land. I am concerned that in our effort to settle people in the grace of God, that we've almost gone to a full other ditch. I want to call you. Listen, this grace empowers you to walk victorious. This is His message. We are more than conquerors, Paul said in Romans 8:32. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He loved us. There's the grace part, but now He speaks of conquest. How many know conquest requires a battle? Conquest requires opposition. Conquest says that you're going to face some things, but we are not just conquerors, more than conquerors, because, I'm going to go ahead and add that, because of Him who loved us. And guess where He lives, by the way? Greater is He, John said, that lives in me than he that is in the world. If you're needing messages about how to cope with life and just get by and using the word to tie a knot in the end of your rope and hang on till Jesus comes, you're in the wrong place. You need to go somewhere else. Because I believe God has called us to a life of victory. I didn't say that every day is going to seem victorious and we're going to win every battle. We're going to talk about that. I mean, we have an adversary. Paul talked about all the things that we went, time allowing, we're going to look at that today. Paul talked about all the things he went through as a result of this spirit of faith. Amen? But he stood as a conqueror. How many are ready for the journey? So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. The spirit of faith affects every area of your life. We see here two necessary ingredients. We'll come back to this, time allowing, later on today. Two necessary ingredients to the spirit of faith, believing and speaking. Everybody here, you gone home? Believing and speaking. How many know people, you know when they've got an attitude? It affects their body language. And after a while, if you keep pressing, after a while, the body language moves to something they're going to say. Somebody with an attitude is going to have a different look about the way they move, and eventually it's going to produce something they say. Now, we're talking about that in a very negative connotation, but let me tell you something. An attitude or a spirit of faith should begin to, and this is why I want to, over the next however long we take, to begin to stir in us. I've called it a culture of faith. Listen, people, we've been called to supernatural living. It's not just barely getting by, hope so, maybe so, hang on until Jesus comes, but He's called us to greater things. And if we begin to stand and believe God together, listen, I believe this year, supernatural things will begin to pop in your life. Oh, Pastor Lee, we've heard that before. Every time we hear a preacher, he's talking about what's coming in the future. Well, listen, He is a God of today. Yesterday is over. You better bet that my future is secure, it's sealed, it's new. I'm looking for new. Somebody said a long time ago, there's three kinds of Christians. There's museums, settlers, and pioneers. Museums are those that want to sit around and dust off an old book and talk about the past and how great the glory of God was in the past and all the great things that happened. Settlers are those that got so far and they said, you know what, I think I'm going to settle here, cut the sod, this is where I'm going to camp. But I believe that God is calling us as pioneers, new levels in God, new levels in grace, new levels in challenging the enemy, new levels in standing in faith and saying, devil, I'm tired of sitting back quietly while you make a mess of things. I was empowered by grace to walk by faith. Woo, that's good news. We can stand and believe God. I didn't say you're going to win every battle. That's been the lie of the message of faith in the past. But let me tell you something. We can stand and believe God for great things. Some of us, as I said last week, we need to begin to let the Word of God 1 Kings 17, Elijah stands and he says, here's what's going to happen. James chapter 5 calls that fervent prayer. A man of like passions, a man of like passions as we prayed a fervent prayer. He says, shoulders back, eyes wide open, looking into the future, saying, God has said, therefore I say, and it shall be. There was a guy that was invited out here a number of years ago to Arizona, a well-known minister, and he'd been invited out here to hunt coyotes in Arizona. And he was absolutely amazed because he got here and, you know, he was pretty fired up about getting to hunt and going. He said, man, by the time we got out there, he said, I was covered in green. He said, you'd think I was going to, you know, battle somewhere. And he said, they had these different gadgets. And he said, it amazed me as we set out these different, of course, those of us that have done that know what all this is about. For him, it was all a mystery. He said, we had rabbit calls that would squeal and squawk and things that would move and look. And he said, when that screeching began to happen, that whining began to happen, he said, it would call in the coyotes. And he said, as I sat there, he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is what happens when my people, instead of declaring my word, whine and cry and bleat and moan over all of their struggles and everything and glorifying the devil for all the stuff that he's doing. He said, they're calling in the wolves. It's time to teach my people faith and teach them how to stand and stop the whining and begin by His grace to begin to declare, prophesy into your future. Listen, every time you say the promise of God out of your mouth, it's a prophecy that hits the bullseye every time. Amen. Stand and believe God. Say with me, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The spirit of faith affects every area of your life. Two aspects of this necessary are believing and speaking. The Word tells us that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, by the Word of His mouth. I don't know how many of you have done very much prison ministry, but you'll run into guy after guy after guy that will declare his innocence and say, I was framed. And they don't know how true those words were. It was my privilege years ago to stand in the beginning of a ministry that would explode and bring revival to a church, as the Lord told me to tell about 12 or 13 rebellious teenagers who didn't want to be there, were upset with being there. He said, tell them to begin to say, I'm the answer. He says, challenge them to say, I'm the answer, not the problem, because of Jesus in this place. That was nuts. They didn't even have a good attitude. But as I began to love on those kids, because the Lord told me, we'd hired and fired a bunch. I think I told you some of this last week or whenever it was. We'd hired and fired youth pastors, and finally the Lord told me it's going to have to come from the leadership. Eventually we were able to pass it again to a youth pastor who caught the vision, but we had to establish it. We'd been through one after another. The Lord spoke to me and said, they're not the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today. You're treating them like a side issue and hiring babysitters. It's got to come from you. And of course, he showed me out of Malachi that the heart of the fathers will be turned to the children, and then the children's heart will be turned to the fathers. So we began to invest in them. And one of the things the Lord began to tell me was begin to challenge what has been spoken into their lives. You'll never amount to anything. I watched grown boys in college, because our youth ministry spanned from 13 to 30. That's what God told me to do. That's scary. I'm not saying it works for everywhere, but for us at that time, we saw gangbangers. We saw everything. We had so much going on in that place. We had undercover cops standing on the back wall looking for kids that were in there that had warrants for their arrest. And those same kids had tears running down their faces. I would say, words have been spoken into your life. You're never going to amount to anything. You're going to wind up in prison. You're going to wind up in jail, just like your Uncle Bob. You this, you that. I said, today I want to call those to naught in Jesus' name. I remember one particular service where we were praying, and the Lord began to speak to me, and I began to call out scenarios. And in that time, I begin to speak out. There's a young man who's standing right now, drunk and high on the precipice of eternity. I said, Father, in Jesus' name. The kids began to pray. There was about 100 plus kids in that place that night. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, let that young man, whoever he is and wherever he is, let that stop now immediately. Let him be shaken over heaven and hell. Let him see your goodness. Let him come suddenly, come sober and see who you are. And a bunch of other, I don't remember because it was a very prophetic type prayer. I remember, listen, people, be bold. If I can stir in you by the Spirit of God, a spirit of faith to begin to challenge you, to begin to walk and live by faith, get out of the bubble bath of grace, stand up, towel off, and begin to do something with this great love that He's given us. Speak some things out in your life. Open your mouth. We're going to talk about that. About 3 weeks later, a young man walked in. Ryan and Esther, who are our children, our youth pastors right now, know this young man very well. He walked in, brought by another kid that had been saved in our ministry. High school. I began to talk to this kid. He said, this is the place. This is the place. What are you talking about? He began to describe to me what had happened to him 3 weeks before on the same night that we were praying at around the same time, probably the exact time. There was no way to prove that. He said, I was drunk and high out of my mind. He said, I was sitting there watching the table go into a puddle, turn into an animal, crawl around the room. He said, my life was a wreck. He later confessed that he had laid out an entire plan to kill his parents and his sister in their sleep. This kid had been involved in stuff that I wouldn't even want to say in this congregation. And he said, in that place, he said, I stood. He said, all of a sudden, in the middle of everything, he said, it all wiped out. He said, suddenly I was completely sober. And he said, I was standing on the edge of complete blackness. And he said, I looked up and I saw clocks and they began to spin backwards. And he said, every evil thing I'd ever done began to flash before my eyes. He said, I found myself cursing God in the most vile way. And at the same time, hitting my knees and begging for mercy. And then standing and cursing him. And then hitting my knees and begging for mercy. Then standing and cursing him with every kind of vile language. Then hitting my... He said... It was utter chaos. He said, when this cleared, he said, I stood in my living room completely sober and aware I was going to hell. I needed God. I needed Jesus. Listen, people, never doubt the power of the Word of God coming out of your mouth. The just shall live by faith. Sorry, Gina. Yeah. Woo! This may bother your religious bones, but he made a phone call to his uncle, who was a believer, backslidden to the point that he was in bed at the time of the phone call. Think of the irony of God. In bed with a woman who was not his wife. Actually in bed with a woman who was not his wife. This young man says, you got to pray for me, uncle. He said, I can't. I'm in sin. I'm living in sin. You got to call. He said, you can't. He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to hell. You know how to tell me to do this. You've got to tell me. He implored to the point that his uncle, in bed with another woman, said, well, here's how it goes, and led him into relationship with Jesus. He said, I confess those words, and something exploded on the inside of me. And he said, I can't get away from it ever since. He said, and this is the place. I watched that kid journey from a nut. He was so burnt out on acid, you couldn't hold his attention for anything. I've sat with him. When the hair would stand up on his neck and his whole countenance would change, and he would say, I'm in hell, aren't I? You're the devil. I'd say, Ben, stop, stop. I said, I want you to say something with me. Jesus Christ is Lord. You'd see something fade. See the demons that had crowded his life. He looked at me and you could see hope, clarity. He'd say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He goes, I'm not dead, am I? This is how nuts he was. You know that guy? Years later, got involved in praise and worship, went to college, aced his classes. I'm not saying that everything in his life is perfect. What I'm telling you is the gospel, the power of the gospel works. And the just shall live by faith. I don't know about you, but I'm sick up to here with religion. I hate it. There's only one kind of religion that's worth anything, and it's what James declared as true, pure religion. And that is righteous acts that are the product of simple faith. For the just shall live by faith. What are you speaking in your life today? Do we hear the bleat of a rabbit? Or do we hear, even in the middle of adversity, the roar of the lion who lives on the inside of you? I want to challenge you today. We can stand and trust God. There's been a message that says if you get faith and you follow the 7 points and the formulas, and a lot of the people that we point at and blame, it's really not their fault. They were trying to help us. We're the ones who need heroes. We need to put men high on pedestals. We need somebody to make it simple. We need gates. We need law. We need structure. We need everything so we don't have to think. Listen, he called us to freedom and he put a compass on the inside of us called the Holy Ghost. That's why 1 John chapter 2 verse 20 says you have an unction. That is the very presence of God by the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, and you know everything you need to know. 1 John 2 27 says this: you have an anointing on the inside of you and you know all things and have no need that any man teach you. Amen. Did I lose you or are you just chewing? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Amen. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. Even in the midst of adversity, your faith will get you to your destination. God will get you there if you remain in a spirit of faith. Now, we understand because of the message of grace that this is not a failure issue before God. I'm so glad that as I grow in this faith, when I fail, He is ever present, ever faithful, ever gentle. My teacher, He doesn't turn His back. He did that once to His own Son so that we would never experience the shoulder. He stands and embraces us. In fact, He gave us His own Spirit. Paul says, whereby our hearts cry, Abba, Father, by the Spirit of adoption. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Three of you, aren't you glad for Jesus today? We got 7. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. So today, one more time, I want us to read together then. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We're going to come back and reference this verse many times, so get ready for it. We also believe and therefore speak. Here's a principle that I heard many years ago. It's worth writing down. And this is what I want to be careful to guard ourselves from. Because I don't want to just do another series and then move on. For the just shall live, not exist, not get by. The just shall live. How many know when God talks about live, He's talking about life. He's talking about blessing. He's talking about God, the knowledge that He's with me and for me and helping me through everything. More than conquerors. Are you here? So here's the thing. The principles of faith are taught. But the spirit of faith is caught. Years ago, I heard it this way. Some things are better caught than taught. In describing, and I hope I don't confuse some of you that haven't been with us, but in describing, some of us have laid out, for example, we're believing God for healing. And we know the scriptures, and we've heard many messages on healing. And so we lay out all of these verses, and we believe that all these promises, as Paul said, are yes and amen in him. And we lay out and we stand on these principles of the Word of God. By his stripes, we are healed. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. We have 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes, we were, showing that healing was in the atonement, and it's a done deal. We have all of Proverbs that declare over and over again that his word is medicine to all our flesh. It's health to our bones, to our marrow, to our belly, speaking of even your immune system. I believe that. I speak that over myself all the time. Some of you are afraid to open your mouth because what if it doesn't work and people hear me saying, I declare in Jesus' name that I have the health of God and I'm not going to get sick. And then I get sick, they're going to think I'm just crazy. We got to get over that fear. We're going to look at that. Stand. So what if you trip? It's like Richie said, one thing I love about the message of grace is that I realize now that in Jesus, when I stumble, it's not back and down. I stumble up and forward. In the process, I'm learning. Reminds me of when I was 4 years old. First time I ever got, Dad pulled the training wheels off a bicycle. I had to trust. Let me tell you something. I had a few spills. But the thrill of motion and movement and pedaling. I mean, how many remember back when you were a kid, that first time you're gliding down that road? And there's nothing more beautiful and more important in life than that moment. And I didn't even know my dad scared me half to death when I turned around and realized he had let go 25 feet back. But the joy that was set before me, suddenly I was pedaling and trusting the deal. You know what? After that, I hit some gravel and bam, got up. It hurt. There was some adversity. But oh man, I'm addicted. I got to get back on that thing. That was awesome. There came a day when I could pedal and flow without any thought. I'm here to challenge you. Don't let the devil intimidate you and push you around. Don't keep your mouth shut when you ought to be speaking the truth. We can whine or we can prophesy. And I'm not trying to be cruel. But at the same time, I hear myself right now qualifying the statement to make sure I don't hurt anybody's feelings. It's time we grow up. I'm talking to me too, relax. Big time. Jesus spent much of his time teaching. He didn't just go out and say, Shalom. I'm God. Watch the lightning fly. He understood who he was. He understood his purpose. And he knew that the Word, speaking the Word, would cause that which was of heaven. Are you here today? That which was of heaven to be manifested on earth. He didn't just walk in and say, watch this. Bam! Welcome back, Earl. No, what did he do? He taught and he taught and he taught and he taught so much that somebody said, I believe that to the degree I must go to him. For she said in her heart, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. I know. I've heard enough. I've been hearing it. I've been falling. I've been listening. I'm standing in the background. I'm ashamed of the blood running down through the rags, filthy rags. I'm ashamed of this issue that has caused me to be unclean. By the law, I shouldn't be touching anybody. The flow is humiliating, but I'm rising above the humiliation because I'm hearing a voice and I'm hearing a man who's different than any rabbi I've ever heard. And every time I hear him, I'm lifted. I know that God somehow, in spite of my uncleanness, in spite of my disease, in spite of my brokenness, he loves me. I know if I can but touch. We need some of that in Chino right now in 2017. I know that, and listen, you. Well, I'm just not noisy. Maybe you need to get noisy. I know. What did Jesus do? He said, daughter, your faith. She could have pointed back and said, yes, but your love came through the teaching. It caused me to rise to a place where I dared to have a thought. And in that thought, I dared to declare something that was impossible. It's because of you. And he's pointing back and saying, no, it's your faith. But Jesus taught the Word of God. He taught. And the product of his much teaching is everybody who came to him. Not everybody. He didn't go in and empty out hospitals and empty out the graveyards. He healed, Scripture says, everybody who came to him as real. I've learned to be very careful about presuming and laying my hands on people because I so believe. The only exception is when I know the gift of the spirit of faith suddenly comes out. You don't even think about it. And I've had that happen, and so will you as you trust God. Okay? But that's a gift. That's outside of where we live every day. Here's the reality. Every day, as we hear the Word of God, as we bathe ourselves in the Word of God, our ability to trust Him at His Word rises higher and higher and higher. We can trust God to do great things. She said, I know if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be whole. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. How many know that believing and speaking? I was talking about prisoners a while ago and I got off track. But they don't know how true those words are when they say I was framed, because they were framed. That's how I got on the whole story about our young people and the church. How we begin to change the words that were spoken over them, because those kids were already being framed. But let me tell you something. You can reframe your world through your words by the spirit of faith. You can, like Caleb and Joshua, say, we are more. I don't care what they're saying, and I don't care what the giants look like. They may be grasshoppers in their own sight, but we want to go up at once, for we are more than able to take the land. You can sit and criticize this, or you can open your heart and be set free. How many glad for Jesus today? The just, how many just we got in the house today, shall live by faith. You must catch the spirit of faith. It's something that can be imparted. It's something that when you get it, it's contagious. As you begin to stand and begin to declare, as you begin to be open, listen, as people begin to open their mouths and speak, leave the wine and turn it into prophecy and trust God, it's contagious. Something begins to ignite. Something begins to happen as God supernaturally moves in their lives and in the lives of those that are around them. How many know that Jesus will stay with you? This is such a simple thought. But some of you need to write it down. He'll stay with you until you get it. That's what I love about the message of grace. I used to think, man, I'm tried and I failed. I'm missing something. I used to preach it, just like you've heard Brother Joseph Prince say. I laughed so hard when I heard that because I thought, geez, he just hit me between the eyes. Because I used to say, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with His Word, so there must be something wrong with you. How many know now that because of Jesus, there's nothing wrong with you and what you look like before God? There can be something wrong with your understanding, but we can do something about that. For faith, Romans 10, 17 declares, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How many of you noticed, even over the last couple of weeks, faith rising? Oh, it's tentative at first. Do I dare? Yes, you dare. Yes, you dare. Stand, I got to move along. My goodness, where does the time go when you're having fun? Amen? Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said, if you can believe, not Lee, not some preacher on TV who's easy to criticize, but Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe it. This spirit of faith that 2 Corinthians 4:13 talks about takes the wraps, the limits off God for you, so to speak. God is not only a big, big, big God, He is also a good, good, I mean, you're going to hear it around here, you've heard it for months, and you're going to keep on hearing it. He is a good, good, good God. And He is for you, not against you. Take the limits off His ability and His goodness. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 37. The spirit of faith believes and speaks the unlimited possibilities of God. For with God, Jesus says, for with God, nothing. Are you here today? Nothing. Say it out loud. Nothing shall be impossible. Somewhere in churchdom, we've been corralled into a place where we qualify every statement to the degree that it renders the gospel useless. Somewhere we've got to make a decision to stand. We doing okay with all that? Now I'll come back to those thoughts a little later. Before we go, I just want to get these punches in if I could. So 2 Corinthians 4:13, as we've read it, is a quote. Paul is quoting King David. Look at Psalms 116. How many knew that? Paul is quoting King David in Psalms 116. David was declaring in a time, listen close, before we go today, because I'm believing God for you, and I'm believing you're going to hook up, because Scripture said if any two should agree, I'm believing God for you for whole new levels in Jesus this year. We've heard it till it's worn out, a year of new beginnings. I understand. I'm worn out with that too. Every preacher that you listen to is always kicking the can down the road and the glory of God that's going to happen in the future. I don't mean that. What I'm saying is literally in God, every day is new. Literally in God, there are new levels. There are new places of faith. There are new levels in God this year. And some of you have been holding on. It's time for us to begin to stand and boldly declare Are you here today? And watch the salvation of God. Everybody say with me, this year.
This year.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, are you here today?
Yeah.
Paul is quoting David. And David, this is a psalm, Psalms 116. This is in a time of great adversity that Paul is quoting. Trouble and difficulty. Look at verse 10. Well, look at verse 8. For you've delivered my soul from death. Look at David, what's going on in the middle of struggle. Let me just back up a little bit. Let's just read it. Let's just read how he got to the place where Paul is quoting him about the spirit of faith. Look at this. He said, I love the Lord. Look at verse 1, Psalms 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he's inclined his ear unto me, wherefore will I call upon him as long as I live? The sorrows of death. Come on, are you here today? He's saying the sorrows of death surrounded me. They compassed me. And the pains of hell got a hold of me. And I found trouble and sorrow. How many can identify? Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul. Now understand, this is pre-Christ, but I want you to see something because Paul thought it worthy of quoting, for he's driving a point home now in the new covenant under Jesus. Look at what he says. Then I called upon the name of the Lord and I said, O Lord, I beg of you, deliver my soul. Gracious, and he begins to declare some things. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I wish I had more time right now, I don't, to tell you what surrounds this psalm. Powerful. I believed. Oh, where'd that come from? I believed, therefore have I spoken. So Paul is quoting David in Psalms 116 when he says, we believe, therefore have we spoken. And he speaks of this spirit of faith. Would you reach out by faith this morning and say, Lord, thank you. I'm moving past principles. I thank you by your Holy Spirit. I'm going to catch this thing. I don't want to learn principles. They've left me struggling. But I thank you by the Holy Spirit. You're teaching me some things. Paul quotes David and calls this a spirit of faith. David had this attitude. This spirit at 17, he finds himself in the camp of Israel. They are under siege. There is the roar of a giant. And they tell him, why don't you just get a burrito and head on back to where you came from? But David had a different attitude. He says, no, I'm here for a purpose. He says, listen, out there, by the hand of the Lord, I killed a bear and I killed a lion. Who is this Philistine who defies the armies of God? David had this spirit of faith. That's why Paul quotes him. That's powerful. The giant, Goliath. How many have had a Goliath in your life? How many have one right now? He was shouting and declaring some things as Israel hunkered down and cowered in fear. David, oh, this might be worth writing down. David, though, was the first man to talk back. Come on, you guys here this morning? He was the first one to talk back to the giant. Nobody was answering. Everybody was scared and befuddled and scrambling, looking for somewhere to hide. And a 17-year-old boy with a spirit of faith said, "Who is this guy to talk like this against the God of Israel? He's the first one." He had an attitude. You bet you did, the right kind of attitude. In other words, when you have the spirit of faith, listen, people, before you go today, if you don't get anything else, get this. When you have the spirit of faith, you cannot allow the devil to talk and you just remain silent. Some of you good old boys, you think you're so tough. I've been there myself. We think that suffering and silence and never opening our mouth and never letting anybody ever see a weakness, and we are stoic and hard and solid. And some rough men have turned women that way. Oh, don't shout me down because I'm meddling right now. So we got women who are that way. And it's the perfect plan of the enemy, imperfect if you would, to shut you up. But we who are called to live by faith should never remain silent when the enemy is talking. You stand up. You get an attitude, change your body language, and you start doing some talking back. And I'm not saying that you're going to win every little. There's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight. Get ready. Because the devil wants to knock that spirit of faith out of you. Stand. It's just like Richie said. Anybody can shudder in a corner and just live life out and never experiencing anything great, good or bad. But it takes soldiers. Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, "Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." Be strong in the grace that has been given to you. Be strong in that grace and endure hardness as a soldier. How many soldiers we got in the place? Listen, people, we're not supposed to be fighting and warring with one another. Somebody put it this way, the body of Christ is the only army that shoots its own wounded. Get your eyes off each other. Stand and start talking back to the giant in your life. The spirit of faith. David had the spirit of faith. Let me say it one more time. When you have the spirit of faith, you cannot allow the devil to talk and for you to remain silent. Open your mouth. We believe, therefore, we speak. Hallelujah. I see Tasha, hands in the air, tears running down her face, overwhelmed by the goodness of God, restoration flooding in. I see that with the eye of faith. I prophesy the goodness of God brings her to repentance. Come on, are you here today? This is you. I stand in the face of adversity and everything upside down. And I declare in the congregation of the Lord, He has not left me wanting, but He is faithful to the uttermost. Restoration. I call you forth. I will not let my spirit be downtrodden. We sat in a jail, beaten and chained, dung up around our ankles. I think myself happy. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Psalms 18, verses 1 through 3. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. They heard them singing praises unto God. And suddenly, when you least expect it, as they prophesied in praise and in singing, "Lord, we thank you." Listen, I'm talking to him about Tasha, but you got your own Tasha. Stand and begin to declare. Don't let a concept of grace make you a lazy believer, for the just shall live by faith. Amen. If there was a chandelier, I'd break one of my rules and I'd swing on it right now. Whew. This isn't just preaching, people. I'm telling you, take God at His word. Young mother, young father, take God at His word. If you don't know His word, it's time for you to submit to the teaching, the overwhelming flood of the goodness of God. As it causes you to change your mind and say yes and amen to His faithful promise. That spirit is broken. The only thing that gives it entrance is when we don't believe this. But it's broken. You're free. There's calling and purpose and liberty and new heights and new places in Jesus. Get ready. It's going to blow your mind as the spirit of faith consumes you. Something inside you in the middle of the week when normally, oh, that was so good Sunday, but now I'm a little punch drunk. Something inside you is going to say, no, you don't do that to me anymore. You lying. You think that's radical? Be careful, Pastor Lee. You're going to scare people. Really? Seriously? There's plenty of churches like that already. Not picking on them, but my Bible says the just shall live by faith. Where do you quit? And so Goliath said, and then David said, and then Goliath said, and then David said, and then Goliath said, and then David said, and Goliath roared, and then David said, and Goliath said, and David said. You see Jesus? Well, I prayed and nothing happened. And Jesus, the Son of God, manifest in the flesh, got hit 3 times before anything happened. Come on, people. Stand. Trust Him. He's faithful. Say it when it's crazy. Say it when it doesn't look like it's working. Stand and say like Job did. Job, under the old covenant, who thought it was God after him, said, even if you slay me, yet will I serve you. That's a spirit of faith that caused him to come to a place where he said, I had heard of him. Job 42, but now I have seen him with my eyes. Jehovah does not afflict. You better read your Bible. Chandelier, where are you? Shalabahasiya. Worship team, get up here. I could go for another hour. Woo! David said, and then Goliath said, and then David said, and then Goliath said, and then David cut his head off, and the Goliath didn't say anymore. Don't you know who my God is? You're toast, Bubba. We're not careful. We become sissified Christians. We glory in it. We take scriptures out of context. We glory in our suffering. I don't have time today, but I'm going to show you next week that right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul speaks. Oh, I'm sorry, we got to do it before you go, and then we'll pick up here next week. I want you to look at the characteristics that accompany the spirit of faith. This doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. Nobody, whoever told you that is not telling you the truth. In fact, those that catch the spirit of faith, They're going to get hammered more. Don't get scared, because on the other side of that, I mean, just a little adjustment is great victory and whole new levels of confidence, God, in blessing. The struggles being broken off as you're able to announce to those around you, I have seen the salvation of God and what He said is true. It isn't all about a struggle. But getting a hold of this, the devil's going to come against you because he wants to knock the spirit of faith out of you. He doesn't want anybody standing up on their own two hind legs and say, wait a minute, I killed a lion and I killed a bear and you're toast too. Whew. Isn't God good? Where's our prayer team? I'm trying to get everything I can up here to encourage me to shut up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Show you a few characteristics. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled. Listen to what he says. This is the same guy that quotes David and says we have the same spirit of faith as it is written. That's the one we've been quoting all along, 4:13. I believed and therefore have I spoken. He says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You stressed out? Help me get into you another dose of the gospel. Stress should not be the life of the unbeliever. Paul is saying, in the middle, look at what he says. We're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. I don't think it's any stretch to say, I'm in the middle of stuff hitting me on every side, yet there's no stress in my life. That's right. Woo, that's good news. You here today? We are perplexed. You know what perplexed mean? It's like, bam, where did that come from? Yet we don't despair. Persecuted. But I hear Hebrews 13:5 saying, for he has said, I will never leave you. Come on, Chris. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Cast down, but not destroyed. Set yourself. Next week, I want to talk about what it means to open your mouth and reframe your world. Not through just another message about confession. Don't turn it into a law. But a message in which you can align your mouth with the Word of God and begin to speak into your future and those around you. Speak to your marriage. Speak to your body. Speak in the Spirit to your loved ones. Speak over your children. Speak over your future calling. I'm glad for Jesus today. Did you get something out of this? Lift your hands right there where you're sitting, everywhere all over the room. Thank you, Father. I'm catching the spirit of faith. Remember years ago, young kids, 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age, I said, I want you to say with me. And I want everybody in here this morning to say it with me like we did years ago. Say, I'm the answer and not the problem because of Jesus in me. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm the answer and not the problem because of Jesus in me. I've got something to say. I'm going to start talking back. Young lady, you don't have to grow up afraid of your husband. Wondering how in the world You wound up in a home just like you said you'd never wind up in. When I grow up, I'm going to marry the perfect man, and I'm not going to live like this. And yet, you look around, and there's people that you heard say that, and there they are. Some of you found your place in that place, and how you wish you could warn others. But listen, we can start believing right now. You can get a hold of how good God is in your own simple way and say, Lord, teach me, show me. He's the one who helps you marry right. He's the one that helps you choose right in your careers. He's the one that will help you have a life that is full and productive and an example to those around you. For those that have already blown it, don't you dare let the devil kowtow you into a place of, I can't do anything about it now. I'm just going to hang on. You can rise again like King David did in the middle. Man, he killed somebody. How many in here have killed somebody? I hope not. But if you have, there's a man named David who was a murderer and an adulterer. And he finally said, you know what? I deserve death, but I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of God. I've got to stop whining and crying. I'm getting up out of the dust. I'm taking a bath. I'm going in the temple, and I'm going to worship the Most High God. Amen. God overlooked all of that mess, and he's counted in the hall of faith. I can't wait till we get to it. Go read Hebrews 11 this week, and you tell me if one failure of imperfect man was ever mentioned in that chapter. They are our heroes of faith, and it speaks of their faith. It never mentions their failures one time. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded by the spirit of faith that he is able to keep that which he's committed. I don't know why I keep coming to you, brother, but take it in. Keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Shobabahasia.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I don't know how else to quit, but just quit. I'm done.